episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello out there, all you listeners in podcast land. I am here, BG, for the second episode of Remember Who You Are on the truthmeets.com platform. It's May the 16th, 2025, coming to you from the beautiful land and soil of California on the continent of America. I am BG. I also go by Purple Play. I've had that name from the past in case any of my old Discord listeners are here. I'd like to go back to that original social media name that is Purple Play. Because I originally chose this name because it's my favorite color. I think it's a better than the beachy title, even though I do like the beach and it's fitting. But after having done some research on color theory, I believe it's a fascinating topic. Actually, I've been looking at it for a while, and it relates to connecting to your inner self and part of your individuality. It's a great, fascinating topic. Like I said, I believe I will revisit that in an upcoming presentation where I can get into it more. Lots of interesting little tidbits on color that we've not been exposed to. Anyhow, back to the topic again. Remember who you are. The entire topic, of course, all of the things that I bring up will be related in how to go about excavating that inner person that you are. Everybody has multiple gifts and all kinds of skills and ideas and just individual ways about going about their lives. And a lot of times it's pushed away, or people feel it's not important, or they're not truly embracing those gifts and talents. And I think the more we do that, we feel more powerful, we're more confident, we have more to give to our fellow humans on this planet. So basically, there's a question. Who am I? If somebody asks you that question, what do we normally say? Well, if say it was someone you just met, you would probably tell them your name, for example, and where you live. I've studied this. I have a degree in this major. I have a job over at this company, or I have a business, or this is how I earn my living, whatever. These are, yeah, descriptors. These are ideas for other folks to form opinions about you, but really they're just what you do on a daily basis, your occupation, kind of like a resume. Is it really you? Is it really your essence, or how you, like I said, put your energies out throughout the day? People pick up on that. And if you're angry, or if you're not necessarily in the best of moods, feeling sick or tired, what have you, certain people can pick up on that. You can try your best to put your makeup on and put your clothes nicely fitted and have your outwardly image looking perfect. But those energies are still emanating from you. And certain people can pick up on those things, people who are paying attention, people who have recognized their skills. I believe everybody has those skills, but we are focused on the outer image, the appearance. Like I said, do they dress well? Is their hair combed? Are they presentable in a particular manner that the media has kind of not, I mean, not in a subtle way, have given us that this is what you look like. This is what an important person looks like, a person who is educated, a person who has value, somebody who's you got to listen to, right? We have all kinds of images and examples and people telling you this is what you got to look like. You got to have this hairstyle, you got to have this kind of car, this kind of job, this kind of image you want to put forth for anybody to take you seriously and give, you know, say you have value. But anyway, going deeper, let's go deeper than that. If you just think, set all those things aside, all of your descriptors, even, you know, where you were born, your family, what your heritage is, your culture, whatever. Even going down through the fluids, your bones, your organs, what is your essence? What is underneath all of that? What is getting you up in the morning? When you get out of bed, what is pushing you out of that bed or making you move and walk around this earth? I had an experience where I did a group meditation and everyone, you know, we did a few breathing exercises. We did some stretching, just kind of got into a relaxed state as best you can with a group of people. Personally, on a side note, I don't like to meditate with a lot of other people because I feel like their energies get mixed up with mine. But anyway, that's a side note. But anyway, lots of people do group meditations when they're trying to maybe focus all on the same thing and kind of put an effort out of. And that we were going over. As far as this exercise we were doing, where we were all focusing, we got a partner and we focused, we looked into each other's eyes and just looked into the eyes and saw, I mean, just tried to just focus and not turn your eyes away. And it was very intense exercise. You have, you can kind of feel the energy coming off of the person's eyes, and it's very interesting. And the question was, you know, posed like, what are you, or who are you, or what is underneath all of that, your story? And we'll,
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
And we're back. This is Beachy on truthmeets.com, show called Remember Who You Are. I was in the middle of talking about a meditation exercise that I did with a group of people about trying to get at the core of someone's essence, just looking into another person's eyes and focusing on the question is, who are you? Anyway, it was very intense, like I said, and had made you think about, yeah, there's nothing there really. You, when you get down to it, we're just energy. And maybe you don't accept that, but I would suggest do a meditation and think about that. See if you can get down to the bottom of your essence, so to speak. There is a saying that I hear people say a lot, we are energy beings having a material experience. So, you know, again, back to the question, if somebody asks you that question, who are you? Maybe you might say that, I'm an energy being having a material experience. See what kind of response you get from that. Anyway, back to the show topic here. I'm trying to give you more and more ideas about how to get to this information that is inside of you. It's an excavation experience. We need to dig down, because there's a lot of layers there, that like an onion, you got to peel away to get at any real meaningful information. But I can tell you a few things, but I think for everyone, it's a feeling, it's something they have to get to on their own. So another story I have, I remember reading a story about someone interested in this sort of exercise, yearning for something deeper. And I think when we yearn for, say, peace or contentment, or even just a feeling of well-being, this is when you get to that point. I don't know if people have figured this out. Maybe you know this already, but when you get to that feeling of well-being, you know, a lot of stuff falls away. You don't worry about, you know, what's going on out there, the politics, the weather, or, you know, what things that usually people get concerned about in this material experience, your bank account, you know, the stuff you have in your closet, whatever, your treasures. But anyway, this story about this person who had this yearning for something deeper, they assumed they needed to go out into the world, trek across, you know, and seek treasures across the globe. And of course, it's a very interesting adventure, and you do find lots of things, valuable things along the way. But they found that when they returned home and began looking in their own backyard, which is metaphor again for inside, internally, they found the greatest treasure. They found themselves. And themselves meaning, again, here they found the most fulfillment, because what do you need to feel whole, at peace, and just again that feeling of well-being. It's a great treasure, because from there you have confidence, you have power, you feel like you can go out and do just about anything you put your mind to. And once you decide what your greatest gifts are, you probably develop those, and that is a treasure, because you're honing on those skills or talents, and they become eventually a great gift to others around you. In addition to, like I said, giving you fulfillment and that well-being, you just, you know, not all the other things fall away. You just don't have the need to chase baubles or sparkly things. So Yeah. So again, looking inside, sometimes people get fearful because we have been conditioned to maybe not think that we're anything special or that you matter in this world. You know, of course, you have your priests sometimes. Well, Catholic, when you grow up Catholic, you're born a sinner. You're just born, you have to be baptized in order to be okay. It's kind of a weird thing. I was raised Catholic and just remember as a child hearing that, thinking, wow, I was born, and I'm already, you know, damaged goods, and you need to do something about that. Otherwise, it's a problem. Well, not a problem, but also, of course, you can't go to heaven because I'm not sure exactly why you can't go to heaven. It just because you're a sinner and you got to be absolved of whatever it was being born, you know, created in you as a child. You know, babies. What do babies? You know, how can babies be a sinner or even objectionable to God? Just a weird thing. Anyway, again, Catholic guilt was kind of their superpower, keeping everybody under control. But anyway, so yeah, so not just from priests, you know, we get our authorities that, you know, are telling you don't know anything. You got to go get education. You got to go learn about how to be in this world because, you know, you're young and we're going to tell you how it is. So you have no status and, you know, barely have the right to be on the planet. You got to earn everything. You got to earn your keep, so to speak. And this is what basically that you learn in school. And every institution has started us at their, you know, what they perceive as the bottom. And you can only be recognized as accomplished when you earn their special certificates of completion, you know, the piece of paper that claims you've received the appropriate indoctrination, as I call it. So anyway, yeah, so you know, of course we're starting down here at the bottom thinking, okay, I gotta jump through all these hoops to just, you know, get to square one. And you know, you go through your college and education, whatever, you go find your job, and then you get to your first job and you realize they barely prepared you for any kind of a culture in the business world. Myself, I was just blown away by all the psychological maneuvering through all the personalities that you had to, learn the unspoken rules about the culture, about how to play the game in this environment. And of course, more importantly, do I want to even play this game? And what's the big prize at the end of this game? And of course, you might think that the prize was you get a promotion or a better position, more money, yada, yada, yada. But really, if you stop and think about it, it just puts you more into the game and more indoctrination and more rules that you have to learn to get or to stay, you know, even stay there. Because then, of course, you know, again, the psychological stuff where people are constantly trying to maneuver and outmaneuver you to get those promotions. And it's just very cutthroat and hostile environment. And that's a lot to learn when you first get into a new job, when you're a young person out of college, and you think you're ready to roll, and there's just a whole nother level. But anyway, back to the original concept of, so yeah, so you've got all these other things going on, all this external obstacles that you got to run around. And so how would you have time to sit down and even examine your inner self when you've got all these outer things going on? That whole path has been outlined for you. And of course, there's all the external fun things, like partying and your friends and extracurriculars of your job. So not to mention just your general life, keeping your household, etc. But anyway, so all these are things that just keep us busy, busy, busy. And so you're not questioning your inner self. You're not questioning anything for that matter. I remember having a pot-smoking hippie professor who encouraged us to ask questions. I'd never had an instructor like that before. It was quite interesting. And a lot of the kids, just looked at each other and, they were like horrified. They were kind of confused. And I thought it was hilarious. But I guess that was just me. But anyway, he talked about peer pressure and the huge push to fit in, the shame. You got to be like everyone else so you're not ridiculed or, the awkwardness like junior high again. So seems like, junior high was where we learned to be, to try to find the safe zones, to be in the cliques, to don't rock the boat, stay with the crowd, and don't embarrass yourself. And all this awkwardness we learned in junior high seems like we don't really get away from that. We're really emotionally still in junior high. And of course, we have the media and everybody else telling us to go ahead and stick with the herd. Just don't let those little pieces of yourself get shown that are not quite like everybody else, so to speak. So, and it gets deeper and deeper. And next thing you know, you don't even know who you are. You're just trying to fit in so bad. You slap on all these different actions and motions and thoughts, and you're just kind of buried in all that. But again, when you start to think about how you actually feel inside and where is that fulfillment and well-being, I think, sometimes we kind of just ignore that and think that that's never going to happen, or I don't know, maybe we don't know how to make it happen. But this process of remembering, like I said, remember who you are, it forces you to basically slow down and kind of push away all that stuff, just like with the meditation of just get rid of all that stuff and go to the essence. And sometimes when you do get to that under layers, you might get some not nice feelings. You might not initially get to the feelings of well-being because you've got some shadows, some buried memories, trauma, stuff like that. That's, not a good feeling, but you kind of have to deal with that a little bit to, clear it out. You can start slow, be patient and gentle, but know that eventually it's going to clear out and you're going to feel a lot better. One of the things also that basically, to keep in mind is that, again, we have so much stuff thrown at us, and we don't want to reinforce that. So you got to sit down and listen to yourself sometimes. Like, I think in the last show, I mentioned, you know, what are you thinking about all the time? What's constantly on your mind? How do you deal with all that? And is it something you can do something about, or is it something that you feel like you have no control over and you just kind of swirl around and feel helpless about it? Sometimes that needs to be looked at. Why are you thinking about things that you really have no control over? Or if you do have, or if you can do something about whatever it is you're worried about, you should do that. And so that you stop being so controlled by it. And so that's kind of what you're thinking. You know, there's that saying, where your mind goes, energy flows. And after you've been giving all your energy all day to, say, your employer, somebody else's mission, you gotta come home. Sometimes people come home and they want to de-stress, so to speak, and they want to unplug, but what do? They go back and watch television or social media or something that's still not quite, I would think that would make you even more stressed, but so it would be a good thing to just turn everything off and try to focus on what you're feeling inside and what is it that you're trying to run away from so much that, you know, if you just thought about it, maybe you could handle it and move on and put down some of those burdens, because walking around with a lot of burdens, it does chew up your energy. And I think people call this louche, and to me, the louche word sounds a little like, you could go into like they're eating your louche or whatever. But in essence, I think you're just pissing it off. You're not putting it towards yourself. You're, you know, pushing it into something that is not serving you. So you have to kind of stop and think again what it is that you're putting so much energy into, and does it serve you, and how you can turn that around to start focusing on something more fulfilling and creates energy for you. Because when you do something that is more in your wheelhouse, or your gifts or your talents, those are the things that tend to increase your energy and make you feel more fulfilled. So it's kind of a spiral effect. So the more you do it, the more you're going to get. Just like when you exercise, you get more energy, or you create more energy. But, you know, and some people, that maybe that is your thing to walk. Like, I like to walk. I walk every day. I love to walk in, you know, nature, and it's creates more energy for me. I feel better. It's also a, mind clearer, and you're doing something for yourself. It's a self-serving activity. So you don't get jumped back into the worrying or thinking about your endless list of things you got to do. Sometimes that takes people off into the ditch. After the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And we're back. Remember Who You Are show with BG. It is May the 16th, 2025. And I was talking about checklists, task lists. Sometimes we have all these huge lists of things to do. And I've recently decided I was calling my list options. not things to do, just options, options to do list or something like that. But changing the, sometimes changing the wording sometimes puts a different spin on it, because, you know, it's not have to do things, it's options. So you kind of put your things, your task list into options. Do I, you know, are these have to do things? Are these, you know, things I want to do? Are these, you know, maybe I want to do it? Is this something I got to do for somebody else? You kind of have to really look at your task list and see what exactly am I, why am I doing this? And, you know, why is it on my list? And of course, our attention spans, you know, have been waning. We've been in training for compartmentalization since childhood. We have, you know, school bells and subjects that are separated out in smaller and smaller chunks. And so we kind of tend to rush through things quickly. I noticed that too, when you have a big long list of tasks and you just think, okay, I'm going to, you know, just go through this and as quickly as I can. And it's no fun. It's like you got, even if they're boring tasks, it's like you, if you're rushing, there's the, you know, the opportunity to make a huge mistake or to just do it incorrectly or whatever. And then you got to go back and do it again. So how is that going to help you? So if you slow down, take a deep breath, and just try to focus on what you're doing. Again, it's part of that list thing. And of course, if it's a job thing that you have to do, that's a whole different, you know, ball game, of course. But still, if you still have that issue, is, you know, if you're rushing through something, your brain, you start to breathe, you know, like in a panic mode, or, you know, stress mode, you're breathing shallow, and yeah, you're not getting that oxygen to the brain. And yeah, you could make a mistake, and that could be a costly mistake for your employer. So you want to just try to enjoy your tasks and be calm, and you can still get them done in a efficient manner. It's just, and it's more enjoyable. So you want to be mindful of that, because there's so many things about breath work now that you can go and slow down your heart rate. You can slow down your blood pressure. I mean, all those things that are good for you, you can work on that, and that would totally make things more enjoyable. And again, it's better for your health. Again, going back to the distractions that we get in our lives, watching TV, social media, all that, computer games, we have so many distractions, and keeping us from ourselves is one of the, I believe, the end game for this war, this war we're in right now. I know people may not see it, but we are in a huge information war right now. And it's the war for all the marbles, because as long as we're kept away from ourselves, our divinity, they stay in control. And Aldous Huxley was quoted as saying, distraction is the most effective tool of control. So when our focus is dispersed and weakened, our power is diminished, because it distances us from our creative essence. And in turn, it turns us into reactors instead of creators. And as humans, we are naturally creative. When our creative endeavors are distorted, like we're fighting against the boogeyman, putting out imaginary fires, and, you know, we just really need to get back to our or again, the creative things that we do as humans for our own benefits and not for somebody else's mission of control. And again, I remember back in the 60s, well, the Mad Men series, there was a series that was centered around in the 60s where it was a great show. It was very well done. But the backdrop was the marketing department and how the staff was so heavily trained in behavioral science. And that was about the time when television was coming on board into everyone's living rooms. And it kind of gave you some clues as to how they were working the show material with the advertisement placements of the commercials and connecting ideas with products. And even to this day, you know, we see product placement embedded within the show. You don't even have to, you know, we're always trying to block out the commercials, but we often think that the message is in the commercial, in the commercial break, but usually now it's embedded right into the program that we're watching, you know, with, you know, coffee cups in, you know, on the table or certain brands of liquids and foods, and even to the fashions and the hairstyles and all the, you know, image creating propaganda that's in all of these Hollywood productions. And again, there was a documentary that was just done, and I believe Verilicious on this station did a quick overview of a documentary called The Social Dilemma, presented as tech workers were whistleblowers on, and I was a tech worker, so it's very interesting. However, I did leave the tech industry about the time when all this social media came on board, you know, the Facebook and the Google and all these Instagram, etc. But anyway, in the show, the employees were talking about how they knew that they were creating these applications that were based in behavioral sciences. They actually had psychologists come in to teach them about how to keep the audience engaged, how to keep them, you know, in the program using clicks and sounds and as dopamine hits. And then they were gathering all this data, creating profiles, much like, you know, the casinos where they have mechanisms to keep you in your seats and keep coming back for more. And the second part, though, was they're gathering all this information about what you go to next or how long you're there. And they're basically creating these profiles so that they can, you know, work on you even more. You know, okay, well, they like this one, let's give them this one. And just keeping you there, keeping you engaged and trying to push you into a direction to where you're going to go to the product guy where it's going to eventually end up in a sale. And I know you've all seen these, you know, YouTube ads that come up every often. And, you know, they're always pushing something, and you do after a while get to notice, you know, the things that they bring to you are always kind of along the same lines of what you are. Or what they think you are. Like, for example, myself as a woman, I seem to get a lot of, you know, the image things, like the makeup and the weight loss and the, you know, how to you know, treat yourself for certain issues, you know, female issues, whatever. So it's like they are paying attention to what you're looking at and trying to guess what you're going to look at next, or you know, just pushing it in your face, basically. Like, I don't know if you ever remember the Pinterest, when Pinterest came out, it was very popular. And oh my gosh, you would just start looking at one thing, and then, you know, next thing you know, it was so much time had passed because they kept serving you up all these other things. But anyway, you're all probably familiar with all of this machine learning and stuff, but the fact of the matter is, this was very interesting that what they termed users, there's only two places where the term users is used, quote unquote, is technology users and drug users. So they are addicting you in many ways. We all experience it. I experience it. It's very interesting and quite eye-opening through all the, you know, all these layers and layers of conditioning we've had over the years has brought us to this point with the, you know, the data bites, the training our brains to accept quick means, like, you know, again, back to the schooling where they chopped everything into small bites. So, you know, we wouldn't connect all the subjects together, because what I noticed after doing a lot of research, a lot of subjects do connect. There are lots of connections you can make, extrapolate out for the different industries, and they're always trying to keep them apart by giving you special terms for this industry and that industry. And it's quite interesting. And that will be another probably topic we can delve into later, because that's pretty fascinating. But anyway, so back to getting to our pushing through these layers of conditioning, like our images of role models. We need to get our validations from ourselves. But first, we need to acknowledge all of the self-hate that's been created by comparing ourselves to all these unattainable ideals, specifically machines. You know, we've been sold an idea that, you know, there's perfection in the computer, and the robots, the bright and shiny, unmessy world that you can jump into, like the metaverse, and you can edit away all the unpleasantness and lose your emotions, you know, because those are just, we don't want to deal with those. It just pushes us away further and further from our real inner beings. So I just want to go back again to remembering, you know, who we are as human beings. Again, we are creative, and we have these awesome hands. I saw somebody say that our hands are like magic wands. But if you think about it, I thought, wow, that's very interesting. Because, you know, when we think about the Industrial Revolution, that we, you know, this is, I guess we're into it 100 years now. It stamped out products that don't require creative talent to assemble. We got machines making all these things, such as sewing garments, making furniture, even making food, which we used to do with our hands. And so hands no longer touch these products. And, you know, everybody says it's better because it's quicker, it's faster, and you can make lots of money, and there's plenty for all. But however, the downside is you know, of course, part of that marketing that they never give you the other end of the good news. The bad news is, you know, that we've lost the human connection. When a human creates something, let's say a piece of furniture or an article of clothing, by touching the materials, our energy is infused into that product. It, you know, your passion is breathed into it, your love, just all these good vibrations are imbued into a product. And when the other person receives it or uses it, that energy is felt. There's a, you know, a connection there. And this is evidenced by when you know someone who has passed away, and maybe you have a personal object that belonged to them that they wore every day, such as a piece of jewelry or a jacket or a shirt. That energy, you feel that love, remembering the person, and it just makes you feel comforted. And people, you know, cling to these objects when, you know, as a way to keep that person close. So usually it's these natural, you know, woods, metals, that are holding on to these vibrations. So that connection, that exchange, it's kind of like an energy exchange, basically, because both of the parties are nourished in this exchange, because the person who makes it is getting nourished because they're putting their passion and they're feeling fulfilled because they're sharing their gifts, and the other person who receives it is getting, you know, a good charge too. And so all of that love and energy has been replaced by the machine-made products. So it kind of gives you a little bit of idea about the power contained in our hands. And, you know, obviously we know there's massagers and people can heal with their hands. And again, a hug, a kiss, you're sending an energy vibration to another human. It's something we do almost every day, and we don't even think about it like that. It's a way to tell someone that you love them, and they feel that it's a good energy. And you know, we went through a difficult time earlier a few years ago when they told us we couldn't hug or kiss or even stand near somebody. And, you know, why was that? They were saying we could affect one another. Of course, they were saying we were going to infect one another, but I believe they were trying to separate us out and keep some division going amongst people. But, you know, since then, it's kind of interesting that people that I used to associate with, we didn't always hug before 2020. But now that the whole thing is, we've gone through all that, it's funny that people that never would hug me before are always wanting to hug now. So I feel like there's more hugging. So that could be a good thing. Silver lining, so to speak, after the break.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Another Conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Back again. Remember who you are. Beachy, on May the 16th, 2025, talking about the power of humans, going back to touch and even without touching, sometimes you can remember a time when you were in a crowd of people and somebody in that crowd just sticks out. It's like, oh my God, they're like got a blinking light over them. And, you know, you definitely notice them. And it's not always, you know, a love connection or a romantic thing. It's just, you know, somebody just always, well, not always, but sometimes somebody just pops out of a crowd and you seem to have a, it's like they're signaling to you somehow. And probably it's their, you know, either their vibration is connecting with you or, and to me, when it happens, it's kind of funny because I always end up meeting the person, we talk and we end up being great friends. So it could just be a resonance of sort or some for whatever reason, you know, you're connecting on the same level. And sometimes a person can walk into a crowd and change the whole vibe of the crowd too. I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but it's pretty interesting. Human power is real. But we have to recognize it and reclaim it for ourselves. Recognize the value you bring. And as you remember this power, it becomes greater and you can also send it out to others and that will help them to remember. So, you know, that's a good, contribution to the world to send out your good vibration and stamp out all our illusions and, you know, remove the shackles of our invisible prisons, you know, change your mind and deprogram, remember. There's just so many wonders of our physical biology. I mean, just again, very basic, women create more humans inside their bodies. I mean, that's pretty awesome. But both sexes have healing properties in their bodies. When you think about your, a cut, when you get a cut and your body starts, you know, working, of course you get some bleeding, but, you know, you stop that, clean it up, and your body starts working on creating skin to cover it over and heal it up. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. And in biology, they did kind of go over a few of this stuff, but they really don't. I felt like they made it so boring that you just didn't even want to pay attention. But you know, human bodies are amazing. I mean, it's happening right now. You know, you're sitting there, and your body's probably healing up something inside, and you're not even aware of it because it's doing its job. It's taking care of business and you're good to go. But we can align ourselves with our inner mechanisms. It's, you know, our cells are like little individual, beings, so to speak, inside of our bodies. And if you think about it, our mind is the god of their universe. That's like a little fractal thing going on there. As above, so below, kind of as within, so without, hermetic principles. We will probably go over that on one of our topics. But anyway, so if you just contemplate all the mechanisms that are going on daily in our bodies that animate us, again, we get up, we walk, we run, we talk, we breathe, all of those things that just happen automatically, and we don't even have to think about it. So anyway, back to the slowing down. So everybody knows that it's a good thing to slow down, but geez, it's so hard, right? Time is moves so quickly, and it seems to be even moving more quickly these days. Do you notice that? Is it me? Are we just getting busier? All these all this technology that they said we were supposed to help us to reclaim back our lives, and it seems like we're more attached to it than ever. I don't feel like we got more time, seems, but anyway, back to the back to our topic here. So one more thing I want to go over today is again about slowing down and how do we slow down. And if you really want to do this, I say the easiest thing to do is to just breathe. You know, if you practice deep breathing consciously, remind yourself throughout the day, you just will help in, you know, sometimes, like I said before, when you're getting all stressed out and you're breathing shallowly and you get panic going through, your body is sensing that there's a threat. So it goes ahead and puts you into the, you know, the fight or flight mechanism. And it thinks, you know, that, it, you know, they need to, your body needs to get geared up for some sort of an emergency or whatever. But when you're relaxed and you're breathing deeply, your body gets the message, okay, everything's good. We can, you know, go back to our everyday normal tasks of, you know, doing repair or healing, whatever it is they do all day long. But again, so a good breathing exercise, just a really quick one to remind everybody, we're going to do a breathe in slowly through your nose. Feel it all the way down into your belly, fill up your belly and hold it for 3 seconds and then exhale. So some people say breathe in for 6 seconds, hold for 3 seconds and then exhale for 9, you know, 3, 6, 9. There's another topic we can go over someday. Anyway, this shows your body that, you know, you want to relax. It will help you to just, everything will slow down. So as you focus on your breath, you'll notice that your heart rate drops, your shoulders will relax, possibly your spine, you know, everything just relaxes. So when you, like you said, it changes your heart rate. And when your heart rate changes, your brain waves change as well. So your brain is getting the message, all is good, we're happy, everybody can go back to their regular, you know, activity or whatever. I'm talking your cells in your body. So again, breathing is extremely powerful. And you know, everybody knows how to breathe. Obviously, everybody breathes naturally. But when you focus on this breathing, there are techniques that, you know, that will detox your lungs, clean your sinuses, soothe the sore throat, soothe anxiety, of course. And, you know, if you know any opera singers or people who need to sing to the far back of the room, they do, you know, these major breathing exercises to get as much, you know, to breathe in as much air, because when they're going to belt it out, you know, it can go across a huge high ceiling room, whatever. And there's a woman who has a very interesting story, and she does some awesome work with breath work. Her name is Brooke McPoyle. Her website is musicalbreathwork.com. And she has, you know, done some fantastic research on breath. And again, there's some, you can heal yourself. There's a whole talk about how, and I don't really understand all this just yet, but there's something called your fascia, which is a, you know, it's the type of, it's in your blood, it's in your fluids basically, that as things, you know, move through, like your energy and your obviously we're mostly water. And so the water flowing is a very important function in our body. And when things are flowing, everything's working great. So if it gets stuck or if there's blockages, that's when you start having issues. So her breathing exercises are helping you to keep that flow going. And sometimes you just need to move things around and you won't have pain or you won't need a surgery, or you may not even need, you know, all these pills that people tell you, you know, you got to take for the rest of your life, stuff like that. I mean, really serious things. So I highly recommend you look into breathing as a whole. It's a fascinating subject, and of course, you know, it will help you to achieve your quiet. It will help you to achieve that that inner silencing, so that you can work on, you know, the things that you need to work on for yourself to get to your peace and joy and that well-being. And so obviously it's going to feel weird at first, but you just need to practice. And it's just getting to the stillness. It's, again, a source of your power. You gather your attention, focus it, and teach your mind to stay in the now, because it's not a feeling, or I'm sorry, it's not a word or a picture, it's a feeling. How do you feel right now? Focus on that feeling. You know, why are you feeling that way? Practice. And of course, it may require sometimes some deliberate intention and the desire to make it happen. But, you know, once you recognize, you know, how awesome it is and how great it feels, you know, you're going to want to do it more and more. Thing is, I was looking at this thing about oxygen tanks. There's something called hyperbaric chambers. Again, it's for people to address their breathing issues, like if you have COPD or even post-surgery inflammation. They tell you that you need to, you know, breathe, do breathing exercises, because that helps with your recovery. But a huge, huge breakthrough is this woman who had an autistic child, and she saw extreme, changes or relief from her daughter, because her daughter was not even speaking. She was very, introverted, and just could not function basically as she grew older. I mean, when she first found this hyperbaric solution, the child was not speaking, and after a few, you know, I guess I can't remember how long it was, that a few weeks or so in this hyperbaric chamber, which basically just gives you oxygen, full oxygen, in a clean environment. So you're basically getting as much oxygen as your body can handle. Because, you know, when you're getting enough oxygen, and we don't, like I said, get all the oxygen because we're not breathing deeply. And, you can do it yourself if you practice, and you know, you don't have to pay, because these hyperbaric chamber, you can go and get a session, and it's pretty expensive. And you can also buy your own, and it's, if you want to buy your own chamber, it's like 10 grand. But yeah, being in these chambers, it's kind of like the cheater, because you can, it'll do it automatically for you, and you just kind of lay there and you get the benefits. But it's basically just getting full, pure oxygen. And like I said, this autistic child was extremely benefited from, you know, she was speaking, she wasn't, you know, in pain or, you know, lots of issues that autistic children go through. It's quite heartbreaking. But this child made drastic improvements just by sitting in a hyperbaric chamber. Something to think about. And again, there's, like I said, you can do it all yourself, but you really need to focus on getting silent, getting out of the crazy world of, you know, constant noise. And you can do that by, again, like I said, going out into nature and sitting in complete silence or meditation. Another thing, you know, or just sitting under a tree or even drawing or painting, whatever it is, if that's something that you love to do, just doing what you love. And being grateful, being gratitude and being aware of all your blessings. Singing is one, of course. And always, always, always notice what comes up when it gets quiet. Because you remember, your presence is the gift. The present is now. So trust in yourself and always remember to ask questions too when you're sitting in your quiet self. Sometimes you might have a question to ask yourself, or if you've got a huge pain in whatever, like if you got a pain in your knee, for example, ask your knee what's wrong, or what do I need to know here, what's the message. And you'd be surprised, you might get an answer. You might get a picture, you might get a feeling, but, you know, sometimes you'd be surprised at what you get for an answer. And remember, trust yourself, because only you know. You can't go to a doctor and say, you know, what's wrong with my knee, because they ain't gonna know. And another thing to think about is, like I said, getting away from all the noise. And we are in a huge amount of noise these days. The news. So I say, what is your news? You look at your social media and you're reposting somebody else's news. We don't even know where these stories are passed around. When they're passed around, where did they originate? Who actually created them? Are they, you know, is it something we should pass around? If you repost only those things that, you know, you think are beneficial or provide information, we are the news now, I believe. So be mindful of what you post, what you're putting out there in the world. Because, you know, just walking by somebody with your good energy, say you're having a great day and you're feeling awesome and you've got that vibration going, you just walk past someone and you pass it along to them. Just remember that. And again, like I said, ask questions, keep asking those questions, because you are the king of your universe. And just remember, asking, A-S, space king, as king. Questions are good. Keep asking those questions. Get to those answers. Sometimes you gotta ask why you're even asking a particular question. So again, lots of questions. And also, if we were not so powerful, they would not keep trying to get control of your mind.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
And I just got a little bit more here to go. Like I said, if we were not so powerful, they would not keep trying to get control of our minds. They can only distract you And they continuously upgrade our distractions. Like trying to keep a balloon underwater, though, that pressure must keep being applied. So just remember that they're just always coming up with the new distractions. So remember who you are, an energetic sovereign being having a material experience. But you already knew that. You just forgot. So take care, guys. Until next time, remember who you are. Bye. Thank you.